Welcome back. It's Andy Parks and Fred Grandy live from the Washington Times on 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. And we're joined now by Frank Gaffney, president of the Center for Security Policy and a Washington Times columnist. And in today's Washington Times, you'll find his piece entitled Obama's Global Makeover.
Frank, I couldn't help noticing that you make a point in this article that we wanted to explore. Everybody is pretty much aware that Obama has tipped his hand on redistributing wealth in this country. But your point is he's also trying to redistribute the nation's power. And we just got done talking with Jeff Kuhner about the Middle East. So I wanted to get your take on what the president is doing in China, because I'm not sure we are perhaps as aware that he is redistributing power to that part of the world at our expense.
Fred and Andy, thanks for having me on. It's great to talk with you. Look, it's not just China. What's happening, I believe, is really a global phenomenon. This president is engaged with the Muslim Brotherhood in ways that are making it more powerful and diminishing the power of the United States. He's engaged with Vladimir Putin in Russia in ways that are enabling the Russians to become more powerful relative to the United States, particularly in nuclear weapons.
He's got more flexibility now.
He's got a lot more flexibility now. He doesn't see a threat in Hugo Chavez, and he is enabling him to become more powerful, even as he's dying, in our own, some call it backyard, I think of it as our front yard, Latin America. And not least, as you say, Fred, he's actively telling the world that we are pivoting, not, of course, for the reason that he wants everybody to think we are, that there's a threat from China and we're going to counter it, but we're pivoting to Asia when we're doing no such thing. And the Chinese know it. And they're becoming more aggressive by the day. In short, they're becoming more powerful relative to us. You know, I was listening earlier today to our friend Bill Gertz of the Washington Times,
sure,
and Washington Free Beacon, of course. And Bill called to my attention, and I presume to everybody else's, in his column in the Free Beacon today, an extraordinary thing that the president said on Monday. Quote, "We're moving closer to the future that we seek, a future where nuclear weapons never threaten our children again.
Yeah.
A future where we know the security and peace of a world without nuclear weapons," unquote. Now, guys, that's national security fraud.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's what he's doing in each and every one of these areas, where he's telling us that the threat's being diminished and we don't need to worry about Al-Qaeda. They're on the path to defeat. And, you know, we can get rid of these big defense budgets because the Joint Chiefs of Staff don't want more, you know, spending on our military. And on and on. And the trouble is that as he's redistributing power to all of the most dangerous people in the world and diminishing our own, he's making the world much more dangerous for us, even as he lies about it.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting because I know you recall, and I know Fred does as well, that a few years back we started hearing all this talk from the left about there can't be only one superpower. You know, we have to come down a notch. We kind of have to step things down and become at the same level as some other country. Pick the country, whether it be China, whether it be Russia, whatever the case is. But there cannot be one. And I think this president has succeeded in doing exactly that.
But the question, Frank, really is why? What motivates this guy to systematically dismantle American supremacy, which more than a few countries, even some of the ones you have mentioned in your article, have depended upon for generations?
Yeah.
Look, motivations are always a bit of a speculative thing.
Sure.
You can psychoanalyze a guy like this all day long, and maybe you get it right, maybe you don't. My own assessment of it is, if you look at his conduct, whatever his motivations may be, his conduct is damning. And what it tells me is he's pursuing, really, Andy, exactly what you said. It was the left's agenda. It's not so much that they didn't think that there could be one superpower. They were okay with there being one superpower as long as it wasn't us.
Yeah, well, that's sort of true, too.
If it was the Russians, that'd be okay. Or maybe if it's the Chinese coming, that's okay. But it's terrible. It's you know, inequitable and possibly dangerous to have it be the United States when, obviously, it's exactly the opposite. If we're the most powerful nation in the world, an awful lot of other people can sleep soundly
because
they're more secure, including, of course, our own people. But that's not how the left sees it. He is a man of the left. I think he has been deeply influenced by and certainly deeply sympathetic to the Islamists as well.
Mm-hmm.
And Fred, as you know so well, we've been raising a concern at the Center for Security Policy for some time that this is not simply his view. It's the view of people associated with the Muslim Brotherhood whom he's had in his, you know, administration and advising it. You put all these things together, and whatever his, you know, psychological makeup may be, you have a pattern of behavior here that is putting Americans in jeopardy. And it's being compounded by the fact that even as it's going along, the president is lying about it. And frankly, I'm sorry to say, most Republicans aren't doing much to hold him accountable for it.
That's what I find astonishing. I mean, just to read your piece, I mean, here you are talking about this confab taking place of 15 Asian nations, the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership. It excludes the United States.
Yeah.
The United States, which has been part of this, you know, whether it's the ASEAN, the ASEAN, Indian, Japan, South Korea, other nations, has always been part of the Pacific Rim. And now they are summarily cashiered from a group that is in dealing with half the world's population.
Yeah.
Now, what kind of a message is that? You don't have to be an ardent opponent of Barack Obama to be damn worried about that.
Yeah. But, Fred, the double irony, and really what I was trying to get at in this piece is, as a fellow by the name of Spengler put
David
it
Goldman.
In the Asian Times, Dan Goldman, was that this followed on the heels of an effort by the Obama administration to try to create some trans-Pacific partnership arrangement that would exclude China. So it's kind of a bellwether, I'd guess, folks, that we are now beginning to see the practical effects of the weakness that is unmistakable on the part of the United States. You know, Osama bin Laden, rather, famously talked about the strong horse and people want to be with it. Well, this is an example. People are now beginning to signal that they want to be with the Chinese, not with the United States, or at least they think the Chinese are people that they can try to appease and deal with when the United States is so unreliable and certainly is going to be less and less capable of being there for them if the Chinese decide to get ugly.
Wow. From stallion to gelding.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yep. All right, folks, if you haven't checked it out, it's in today's Washington Times, Obama's Global Makeover. It's by Frank Gaffney, president of the Center for Security Policy and a Washington Times columnist. Frank, always good to talk to you. Thank
you. Pleasure's mine. Thank you, guys.
Thanks,
Frank. It is 5:23, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, we'll check in with Congressman Tim Huelskamp of Kansas.
But no longer of the Budget Committee.
Or the Agriculture Committee. We'll explain it all. Stay right here.